Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Hagen, a nutrition coach, entrepreneur, food freedom expert, and forever a recovering disordered eater. I am here to help you own your enoughness, find your very own food freedom, and achieve your health and wellness goals in a way that gives more than it takes. Each week, I will provide you with insight and inspiration surrounding no-nonsense nutrition, mindset, motivation, body image, confidence, and other wellness wisdom. Welcome back, squad. I am thrilled for today's podcast episode because I had the pleasure of interviewing my one-on-one nutrition coaching rock star, Megan Echterling. Megan is someone who has been so diligent in her nutrition practice. She has achieved amazing weight loss. In fact, before Megan and I began working together, Megan had lost over 100 pounds through diet and exercise alone. She had the amazing support of her physician, and together they cut her calories, increased her exercise, and she saw amazing results until those efforts stopped working. That's right. Megan was eating so few calories, she had nowhere left to go. But both she and her physician agreed that she still had weight to lose. So what's a girl to do? Her doctor said, "I don't want you to cut calories any lower. That's not safe. I don't really know what to do from this point moving forward." So of course, Megan was frustrated. The scale started going the wrong way, and she knew, "I can't eat less. I've dieted down as far as I can go. What do I do?" That is when Megan and I began working together. Several months ago, Megan explained to me what she was eating, explained to me what her weekly activity looked like, and I said, "Girlfriend, you're not eating enough. We need a reverse diet." And a reverse diet is something you don't hear a whole lot about because for most of us, we don't need it. Most of us are actually eating more than we need. However, there are several of us that have dieted down so aggressively. We've cut calories and cut calories and cut calories, and it works until it stops working. This is what we call a plateau. Maybe you start noticing some metabolic adaptations. Your hunger increases, your cravings increase, your energy tanks, as does your libido. And there's nowhere left to go. You can't eat less than 1,000 calories and still survive and function like you should. So Megan and I have been on this journey together for several months now. The reverse dieting process, it's slow because we don't want to throw a bunch of calories at you. We need to progressively increase your intake, cautiously and carefully, making sure that we're still prioritizing nutrient density. Now, along this process, you don't lose weight. That's not the goal. The goal is to build you back up to maintenance. Megan is sharing her story with you, what the reverse dieting process has been like, while it's equal parts frustrating and rewarding, and how she feels now, several months later, as she is ready to dive back into a fat loss phase. Buckle in and listen to what Megan has to share, because her insights are many. And I think a lot of us who subscribe to diet culture, this eat less, eat less, eat less mentality, have a lot to learn. Because friends, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Dieting is not a 365 day out of the year process. You cannot always be in a caloric deficit, and Megan is about to tell you why that's true.
Megan, tell us a little bit about you. Obviously, you and I know each other very well, but for everyone tuning in, who are you? What do you do? Fill us in on you.
So, my name is Megan, and I am a school secretary, and I have the summers off, so I'm just getting ready to go back. I mean, I've been back for a while, but the kids are just getting ready to come back. And I grew up in Michigan in a very small town, and now I live in Pennsylvania. And I love to ride bikes.
You do. You're huge into cycling these days.
So, yeah.
Megan, I have you on the podcast today because you have achieved so many big, powerful goals. And we're going to talk about a few of them. But before we dive into today's topic, which is reverse dieting, I want you to tell us a little bit about this not so little accomplishment of having lost over 100 pounds through diet and exercise alone. You have reached that goal actually before we even started working together. So tell us a little bit about that huge accomplishment.
Right. So I have struggled with my weight pretty much all of my life since I was in about the third or fourth grade. And after I had my kids, I got Bell's palsy. And Dr. Google told me that Bell's palsy is caused more in obese people than not, which isn't true. Don't believe Dr. Google. But I was telling my doctor this, and he said, well, that's not really true, but whenever you're ready to do something about your weight, I'm here for you. And he has just been an incredible support to me. And between his guidance and my hard work, just using MyFitnessPal to track my calories and my workouts, I busted my butt and lost 125 pounds. Wow. So when I went into the urgent care for my Bell's palsy, because I was pretty sure that that's what I had, but I wasn't exactly sure. The scale said 300 pounds, and that was kind of my breaking point. It kind of scared me straight.
And you did this all through changing your diet and exercise alone, correct?
Right, correct.
And you had your physician's amazing support and accountability.
Absolutely, absolutely. We checked in every other week for the first year almost. We did every other week check-ins and weigh-ins and tweaking calorie intake and just check-ins and talking through things. And then after I got down so far, then we moved it back to every month. And right now I haven't been back for a while, but yeah, through his amazing support, He did what he knew how to do, and that's to restrict calories and encourage exercise. So that's what I did, and I lost a bunch of weight doing that.
And how long did it take you to reach that goal, Megan? Just for other people who, I've heard several people reach out to me and say, I love when you have people on the podcast who have reached these amazing sustainable weight loss goals, because it inspires me and helps me to know that I can do it. And I want to help put that in perspective, that this is not an overnight change. You worked your ass off to get here. Can you tell us how long all of your hard work took to reach that goal?
For the whole amount, it took about a year and a half.
Wow.
Because, you know, it, like you always say, it's not a linear process. There were plateaus, there were gains, there were, you know, so it was always an up and down, more of a graph, or it looked more like what do you call those things? Like, it's just a mountain range than a line. But yeah, it took about a year and a half to get everything off. And then, it certainly hasn't been linear since then either.
So let's dive into that a little bit, because when you initially reached out to me, you had lost an amazing amount of weight, but you were feeling super frustrated because you weren't at your ultimate goal yet. You knew you wanted to lose more weight, but you were feeling really stuck. You had been cutting your calories, tracking them on MyFitnessPal, exercising your tush off, and nothing was happening for a long time. So tell us a little bit about that stuckness.
Right. I plateaued for a while, and then I started gaining weight. And my doctor got to the point where he was like, well, we can restrict calories even farther. But my calories were so low to begin with, after cutting them back throughout the process, that he really didn't want to cut them anymore. So he was like, well, just exercise more. But at the same time, I was busting my butt in the gym as it was. So I really didn't have too many options at that point. So I was frustrated because I didn't really know where to turn. And I was either plateauing or gaining, and not losing. And I wasn't at my goal. And so I was talking to my trainer because I also throughout the process hired a trainer. And I still see him once a week. And that's how I found Nicole, is through my trainer.
And this is, I want to make this crystal clear. This is the byproduct of dieting. You had been so successfully dieted down. And we know that fat loss requires a caloric deficit. So I have to eat fewer calories than I'm expending. And you were expending a lot of calories both in and out of the gym, but you were eating so few calories by way of food and meals and snacks each and every day. You had nowhere left to go. You were right. Already in such an extreme deficit, and your body had adapted. Something called metabolic adaptations happen when we are in a deficit for such a long period of time. And that's what you were experiencing. And when that happens, we start to rebound. And these metabolic adaptations, like increased hunger and decreased energy and increased cravings and decreased libido, they push us to binge or overeat or feel wildly out of control around food because we've been restricting for so long. And a lot of us think, what happened to my self-control? I was doing so well. And it has nothing to do with your self-control, and it has everything to do with your body's natural response to being in such a strict caloric deficit. And it sounds like that's what you experienced, Megan.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And like I said, my doctor knew that I was kind of at the lowest point that I should be, and didn't want to restrict anymore. But he knew what, or he did what he knew to do. And so he didn't really know how to help me after that either.
Sure. And I respect your physician because the amount of accountability that he provided for you is unheard of. I mean, weekly or biweekly, then monthly check-ins to help you reach this goal. That's amazing. That support is truly fascinating to me. And I think we should have more of it, which is obviously why one-on-one coaching helps people pursue their goal just because of the accountability component. But you're right. Physicians often don't have an extensive nutrition education. And so he knew enough to help you cut calories and restrict to the point of seeing weight loss. But then when you hit that plateau and your body had adapted to eating such few calories, it was kind of like a hands toss up in the air situation. I don't really know what to do from here.
Right. Right.
And you still wanted to lose weight, right, Megan? You still had a weight loss goal?
Right. I still had a weight loss goal, and it was to the point where I was actually gaining weight, and he, at our check-ins, he would be like, well, I don't want you to go any higher than this. And you know, your weight's creeping back on, be careful. But there wasn't anything I could do about it. You know, my body was kind of rebelling. And so at that point, the appointments kind of got frustrating as well. And he didn't mean them to be, but that's just how they became to me. So yeah, I think it's just, that's why I came to you, is because he didn't know what to do. And we were both kind of getting frustrated.
Sure, understandably so. Here you are putting in all this hard work and the scale's going the opposite direction, despite the fact that you're still trying your darndest. And I mean, anyone would be frustrated. So Megan, when you initially reached out, you explained all of this to me and you said, hey, here's what I'm eating and here's what I'm doing. Do you remember initially what I said to you when you told me how many calories you were consuming?
Yeah, you were like, you've got to eat more.
And your response was?
No. Like, it's so foreign because we're taught not to eat. Like, if you want to lose weight, you don't eat. And that's what we're taught. That's what diet culture teaches us. And I think it's scary So after losing that much, I didn't want to gain, and it is scary, but at the same time, I was at that point where you just have to trust, and what I was doing wasn't working. So I had to trust that that's what I needed.
And trust you did. I mean, it was a scary thing for you to hear me say, hey, you're actually not feeding your body enough for just everyday life. But then on top of that, these workouts that you're trying to perform, we need to get you eating more. And for a lot of people, that just doesn't make sense. It truly doesn't. And you're right, for fat loss, we do need to eat less, but to a certain point. Because with these crash diets where we cut calories and increase expenditure, the lighter you weigh, the fewer calories you burn, just existing, so the fewer calories you need. But our metabolism adapts to this excessive calorie restriction. And if we drop calories too low for too long, our body starts intervening for the sake of preservation, right? It's doing its job. And it says, hey, I need more. And so you then started gaining weight. So what I kind of presented to you was, this is not going to sound very sexy, but we need to put you into a reverse diet process. And for people who don't know what a reverse diet is, essentially it's a diet flipped on its head. It's the diet after the diet. You have brought your metabolism down to a place where now it's reacting by increasing your hunger and increasing your cravings. You're no longer seeing weight loss. And so we need to gradually, progressively increase your calories back up to the point where you feel like now you are nourished, you have the energy you need, those metabolic adaptations kind of go away because you're feeling much healthier. Now, you don't lose weight throughout this process. That is not the goal. And for you, having this weight loss goal, that freaked you out a little bit. Can you tell us initially what your thoughts were of the reverse dieting process, never having done it before?
Well, like I said, it's hard because I still did want to lose weight, but I knew that that's what I needed to do. So it was time for a change. And so it was hard. It was hard to force myself to eat because, you know, my mind had told my body that I wasn't hungry. So I remember talking to you and saying, but you say to eat to 80% full. And when I do that, I'm not eating enough calories. So it's really hard to go back on that and, you know, retrain your body to eat enough food to nourish your body because you were starving it. So now you have to, and it was so gradual. It was not like, hey, go out and eat this big buffet every day to, you know, build yourself back up. I think we added like 150 calories maybe a week or something just to build it back up gradually. It wasn't a whole lot. But when you're so far down, like I think I was at like between 1300 and 1500 calories a day or something. So when you're so low, adding 150 calories is a big deal. So it felt like I was stuffing myself and I was never hungry. And so now I get hungry and now I don't feel as full when I eat to nourish my body. So it's been a big learning curve, but in the end, it's been great.
And you've been such a teachable spirit, Megan. I mean, I think you mentioned this a little earlier on. You said, well, I knew what I was doing wasn't working anymore. So I sort of had to just trust the process. And that's exactly what you did because we can't take calories any lower than that. I mean, you were burning hundreds of calories a day through exercise alone. So that leaves what? Less than 1,000 calories for your bodies to function off of, which just isn't enough. We can't feed you 800 calories a day and expect you to survive. That's compromising your health. It's putting you in a really negative space. And certainly I wasn't willing to help cut calories more. So you kind of trusted the process and said, okay, well, this isn't working anymore. So I'm going to put my blinders on and just trust you that this is the right thing. And what we did, you're exactly correct. It was a great description. Very progressively, we taught you how to shut off focusing on the numbers. I didn't want you to worry excessively about the calories or about your weight. And instead, we kind of retrained your brain to listen to your body. We connected you back up at the neck. And we said, well, how do you feel when you eat this way? You had turned off your hunger cues because your body was used to having you ignore them, right? If we're chronically dieting, we say, you don't get food. So your body's not going to waste energy telling you that it's hungry if you're just going to ignore it. And so as we progressively started feeding your body more, and not just more, but of the right things that your body was going to use, those hunger cues came back. And I remember you said, I'm eating more, but I'm actually feeling hungry. That's a little scary, but I think it's good. And you were so right.
Yeah, it's been a very interesting process to actually listen to my body, because I was not one to do that, like, ever. So, yeah, gradually and sustainably, and to know that I'm doing this so that it's for life and not just a diet is also helpful.
And that's the perspective that we had to take as well, because you were taught to be very focused on the scale and seeing that number trend down, 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 not a linear process, certainly, you know, valleys and peaks. But when I said, okay, well, the reverse dieting process is not going to help us lose weight over the next few months, that is not your goal. Your goal is now to increase your caloric intake in small increments, but we want to maybe even put on a few pounds throughout this process, but we will not lose weight. But we're doing this to create a strong food foundation to build you back up to a healthy place where you then can return to a fat loss phase. So you had to blow up that perspective and say, okay, in the grand scheme of my life, am I willing to put in several months where I'm building my nutrition back up so that eventually I can reach my ultimate fat loss goal? Which is so hard and so scary. So Megan, I want to hear from you about, how did you stop focusing on the scale? I know that was kind of a big battle for us initially. And I said, this isn't going to work if you're constantly stepping on the scale, because that number is just going to throw you off. It's going to trip you up. We need to focus on how you feel, not on how much you weigh. Can you tell us how you did that?
It was really, really hard for me. So I literally put my scale in the attic and I didn't have access to it. So if I didn't have access to it, I couldn't weigh myself. But that was one of my doctor's things. You weigh yourself every single morning to see where you're at. Knowing that some days would be higher than others, but every single morning. So it also became a habit as well as a curiosity thing for me. But yeah, I had to put it away, like out of sight, out of mind, and hard to get to in order to break myself of that.
Exactly. We had to say, okay, this is a habit. You're accustomed to getting this validation, but you are so much more than this number. And this process isn't going to be tied to that number right now. We're going to focus instead on how you feel, how much energy you have throughout the day, how your workouts are feeling, and go from there. So what did we focus on instead, Megan? What were some metrics that we used to track your progress along the way?
How my clothes are fitting, how much energy I had, how I felt, like just in general, how I felt. I think those were the two main ones, though, just how my clothes were fitting and how much energy I felt I had. And how hungry I was feeling, just listening to my body.
And I think I remember how well we were fueling your movement. So you mentioned earlier you love cycling, and that was something that we kind of shifted your focus to was, okay, well, if you're fueling adequately, you're going to want to get on the bike. You're going to love how you feel because you are giving your body enough energy to cycle for miles and miles. Whereas when you're chronically dieting, what most people find is going to the gym or working out is a drag. Like, you don't have the energy for it, but you're forcing yourself to do it for the sake of the number, for the calorie burn. And instead, we said, I want you to do it because your body feels like moving and you love how you feel afterwards. So for you, it was shifting that focus to how much energy do you have each day? And does your body feel really good after getting a great bike ride? Or do you feel just totally exhausted?
Right. Yeah. And it's been great.
Now, Megan, here you are several months later through the reverse dieting process. And I'll be the first to say it's not easy. You had weeks where we were kind of giving you the pep talk, like, this is so worth it. I know the scale's not going down right now, but trust the process. You're feeling better. Keep focusing on how you're feeling and how you're fueling your body. And recently, you and I had a chat and we said, I think we're there. I think we're ready. I think we have worked you back up to a confident caloric intake to the point where everything's feeling great. You're feeling like you have enough energy, and let's dip our toe back into the fat loss phase and see what happens. Now, we might need more time in the reverse dieting process, but let's just experiment and see what happens. So you are just newly headed back in the fat loss direction. Tell us about your experience thus far. What's happened?
I still feel great. I still have a lot of energy. It's really hard to tell right now because honestly, it's not an excuse, but I haven't had time to go for a bike ride, so I can't tell on the bike. But, I was noticing last night that, I have been going from sun up to sundown. I go straight from home to work to play practice and then back home again. I'm gone like 16 hours a day. And last night after play practice, I grabbed a big stack of the flyers for the play and I was hanging them around town and I was like, dang, Megan, you're like the Energizer Bunny. Like, mentally I was exhausted, but physically I still had a ton of energy. And I think I was just mentally exhausted because it was just an exhausting day yesterday. But I noticed and named that I had a ton of energy still left at the end of the day. So I don't know how weight's going because my scale's put away, but I feel great. So it must be going great.
And eventually we will bring that scale back out and we'll use it as a metric. But we wanted to continue encouraging looking for progress in other areas. How you feel, your energy level, your workout performance, even just how your clothes are fitting. But what I hear you saying is, so far, fat loss is feeling pretty darn good this time around and less restrictive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I feel great. So far, so good.
Now, mentally, Megan, how do you feel looking ahead at your fat loss goal? Do you feel confident now that you've spent such a long time investing in this confident nutrition strategy? Like, you know now what proteins do for your body, how much you need, the role of carbohydrates, when you feel best consuming what amounts of fats and veggies. Do you feel different this time compared to when you were trying to lose fat the first time?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I think the first time it was all about, it sounds strange, but trickery, like finding the lowest calorie food that would fill me up and still, like, I felt like I was cheating the system. Anything, you know, they make all those Weight Watchers things and the diet things and the, but they're so full of junk most of the time. And I think now that I'm eating whole foods that might be higher in calories, but they're also more nourishing because they have more nutrients than the junk filled things. So I think in the long run, my body is better because I'm feeding it better.
I agree 100%. And you're speaking to what I just talked about on a recent episode of the podcast, Eat More to Weigh Less, which you and I know doesn't make sense. But what you have been doing is eating more nutrient dense foods, eating more frequently, eating more better quality foods. And that is going to set you up for success this time around to reach your ultimate weight loss goal, which is amazing. And I feel so privileged to be a part of that. The one thing that I want you to share, Megan, is this is a huge mental hurdle, and I don't have to share that with you. You know, you've been through the process. Dieting teaches us that we have to eat less to weigh less, and I have to use that trickery, like you said, to find the lowest calorie option to essentially starve my way to success. And you have done that. You've realized there is an end of that road, and I can't go any further. So I had to find something that served me better. I see a lot of women underfeeding themselves and restricting and depriving and starving themselves to see the fat loss success that they want, and it's not working for them. And they probably need a diet break like you took in order to learn how to eat to fuel their body and nourish their performance. So what would you suggest to a woman like that, to your former self? What would you say to her about trusting the process?
Oh man, if I had to do it all over again, I did all sorts of things like restricting carbs and all sorts of things. But you know, now that I'm eating well, I just have so much more energy, and I just feel like I wasted a whole lot of life sluggish and sitting on the couch because I had no energy that I could have been playing with my kids or riding my bike or, you know, doing all sorts of things. So I think that the better you nourish your body, it doesn't matter how many calories or what the label, it does matter what the label says, but it doesn't matter if it's diet food or not. You need to nourish your body, and don't spend time sitting on the couch because you don't have energy. You need to find out why you don't have energy and then change your diet so that you do have energy.
Amen. Yes. Explore, ask, be inquisitive. Why do I feel this way? Because in a world where you achieve safe, effective, sustainable fat loss, you still feel great. You have a very freeing relationship with food. It doesn't have to be restrictive. It doesn't have to be a prescriptive set of rules that you follow or you fail. And I love that you have kind of uncovered that through our work together. And I hope that so many of the other women listening who are feeling exactly like how you felt, sitting on the couch with no energy, trying to eat their 100 calorie snack pack so that they can still hit the green in MyFitnessPal, hear what you're saying, because I think it's invaluable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Megan, I'm putting you on the spot, but any closing thoughts or remarks that you needed to hear at that time in your life? I know this process is a little unorthodox for people who are used to the diet world, and it's hard to understand. It has worked wonders in your life. And I think just more than that, your story, the bottom line has been accountability through it all. Whether that was a physician, whether that's our work together, you have achieved everything you've achieved because you said, hey, I need some help with this. And I'm going to find someone that can help me achieve where I ultimately want to go. So any closing thoughts or remarks for the woman who is sitting on the couch?
Yeah, I just think no matter what you do, just take the first step. It's scary. It's hard. You know, when my doctor said, whenever you're ready, I'm here for you. I said, I'm ready. And he was like, no, I think you need to think about it. And I'm like, I don't. Just, I'm ready. Let's go. Because I knew if I thought about it, I wouldn't do it. So I think you just need to take that first step and do it. Whether, no matter what it is, it could be the tiniest, smallest step that you can think of, but just do it. Because one step leads to another. And anything that you can do to change today to nourish your body, to give yourself the best shot at more energy for tomorrow, I can't stress enough how much better I feel now that I'm nourishing my body. Even though I was under a doctor's care and totally accountable to him, I still feel so much better now that I am nourishing my body. And I have to point out that even through the reverse dieting, I didn't just maintain my weight. I actually gained weight. And so I'm heavier now, but that's okay because I feel great. And it's okay because I'll get where I'm going. It just won't be tomorrow.
I love that. Take the step, no matter how small, and set yourself up for success today. Even if that's the most teeniest, tiniest step forward, you were planning for the future. Not just saying, how can I be lighter tomorrow, but how can I live my best life for the rest of my life? And for you, the reverse dieting process, it wasn't about weight loss right now, so that you can live that optimal quality of life that you want long term. I love, love that, Megan. Thank you so much for sharing your story. I know this is hard to talk about. It's vulnerable, it's personal, but I have no doubt that other women will learn so much from your experience. So thank you for being brave and bold and sharing.
No problem. Thanks for inviting me. Have a great day.
Thanks, Megan.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. If you like what you heard today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and then head on over to nutritioncoachingwithnicole.com where you can sign up for my weekly emails where I send out my favorite tips, tricks, advice, and support every single Monday morning to help you kick your week off right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.